course, this heaven below, to know Jesus. And you know, it's a little taste of heaven just to get to spend time with Jesus. And when we come to church tonight, it should be a taste of heaven, because we are here to fellowship one with another and fellowship around the Lord. And that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. So it should be something precious to us and to be here tonight. And I'm glad you're here. And it's good to see everyone. Hope you've been having a great week. And it's still cold. It's not summer yet, but it's coming. It's coming. At least, thank Brother Justin, you won't have muddy roads.
It could rain in the summer, too.
Well, that is true, but it dries faster.
Yeah.
Well, tonight, if you have your Bible, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In our last message, we were looking at living as the Lord's church requires understanding and using your spiritual gift for the edification of others. And I'm thankful for that truth, and we learned that it's vital to the health and growth of the church to know your gift and to use it for the Lord. And you know, we were talking about how many people are agnostics when it comes to spiritual gifts, meaning that they don't know about the spiritual gifts. And so we learned briefly two points. Learn to discern the spirits and to discern the spiritual gifts. Tonight we're going to continue beginning in verse number 12. And I would like to spend more time in the spiritual gifts. However, this is a preaching series and our main focus is to learn how to live as the Lord's church. And so if you want more in-depth teaching about the spiritual gifts, sign up. And I'm thankful for all you that have. We've got a lot of people starting to sign up for the spiritual gifts class. It's going to start a week from this Saturday. And it'll go from 9:30 to 12:30. And so if you haven't signed up, I would encourage you to do so. Because according to the scripture, God wants us to know our gift. And he wants us to use our gift. And so I think it's vital for us as Christians to grow and our church to grow as well. You know, I was going to bring my spiritual gifts notebook, but I forgot. And I had it sitting on my desk, and I just did not grab it. But I just wanted to bring it just to kind of give you an idea. And I'll try to bring it Sunday, Lord willing. But I just want to say it's a three-ring binder, and it sits this thick. So it's not just a shallow on the surface class. It's going to go into a lot of things. Of course, that includes a teaching, an in-depth teaching that is not covered in the class, that kind of just gives some theology behind the gifts. But that's what the $25 is for, to help us print that. Because I don't know how many pages. You know how many pages it is? It's a lot. And of course, you're not going to get it all at once either. It's a little bit at a time as you go through the class. And so I just want to say to our church that this way it's designed is designed to be taught in a interactive type environment like it's going to be. And so we don't have the right to just provide the material to people just to read. And it's not designed that way, because most of it is PowerPoint slides. And so if you want to get the material, you have to come to class. And that's just how it is. And so really, I'm a teacher and I'm a student. I wouldn't have got what I got from the class just reading it. I wouldn't have made it through it. It's just a lot of material. But being in the class would be tremendous to give you opportunity to ask questions. And maybe last week, I was hoping as we went through that subject that there were some questions that were already starting to percolate in your mind. And if so, write those questions down. And when you get into the class, you'll have opportunity to ask those questions. So tonight, we're going to build upon last week's message, adding more bricks to that truth of why we need to understand and use our spiritual gift for the edification of others. And so we're going to read in the beginning of verse number 12. I want to start out by reading and having a word of prayer. Verse 12, we're going to read down through verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, or one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Father, we thank you for reading your word tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather once again as a church at this midweek service. And Lord, we're asking that you would give each one strength and to be able to listen. And I know that most everyone here probably had a full day, and I just pray, God, that you'd give grace to each of us and give us ears tonight to be able to hear and give us an understanding of your word and how important it is that we know about your church and how we relate to the church and our function in the church as members of the body of Christ. And we're asking for your spirit to shed light upon this and to order us tonight in your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to give you the theme of the message tonight, the theme of this passage that we're going to be looking at, and that is to live as the Lord's church, we need to understand the spiritual anatomy of the body of Christ. We need to understand the spiritual anatomy of the body of Christ. I'm sure some of you here tonight are familiar with Grey's Anatomy, the TV drama series. I mean, I'm not real familiar. I think I may have watched a couple of episodes years ago, but I was looking it up because I was just curious, and they're going to start their 20th season next month. And I thought, wow, it's been going that long. And so ever since 2005, they've been showing Grey's Anatomy. And I do remember one thing about it, though. My daughter Abby, that was her favorite TV series. She liked to watch those episodes because she had a dream to be a medical doctor. And I think that may be one of the reasons why I looked at it and watched it a couple of times, but it didn't really appeal to me. But anyway, I don't know much about the TV series Grey's Anatomy, but when I was at Texas Tech University, I did have a book called Grey's Anatomy. And my dad bought it for me for Christmas. I was going studying pre-physical therapy, and I was taking a lot of anatomy classes, and that book, I'm not kidding, it was about that thick. I mean, it was a big old thick hardback book, and I don't know if that's where the TV series got their name, title, I don't know. But anyway, I do have a little bit of understanding of anatomy. I took a lot of anatomy classes. Of course, that's been a few years ago. There's been a lot of river running under the bridge since then. But I remember taking, I about took half a dozen anatomy classes in human anatomy. And one of our human anatomy classes, we got to go to the Texas Tech Medical Center. And went over there and we got to examine a real human cadaver. And that was quite an experience. And it was a woman in her 60s and died of lung cancer. And of course, they had dissected the body. There's already the skin and the hair was off, so you couldn't see any appearance of who the person was. All you could see is muscles. Of course, they had the breastbone cut open. You could open it up, look at the heart, the lungs, and look at all the different organs and look at all the muscles. And you know, I know it sounds gross, but it was interesting. This is a real human body here, and to just be able to look and study it. And I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about how Christ, he compares the church, the local congregation, to a body, a human body. And so there's so many similarities between a human body and the church. And that's why I came up with this thought of anatomy, understanding your anatomy. If you want to know about the human body, you got to study anatomy. And in anatomy, it's dissecting and peeling back the layers to see what's inside. And that's what we're going to do tonight with the spiritual body of Christ. We're going to dissect, open it up, and look at it and see what it is. You know, the word anatomy, it literally means, it comes from a Greek word, and it literally means to cut through or to dissect. And so it's reflected in this definition by Merriam-Webster's. I want you to look at this definition on the slide. It says, the art of separating the parts of an organism in order to ascertain their position, relations, structure, and function. And so that's the definition given in the modern Merriam-Webster's dictionary. That's what anatomy is. So this separating the parts, that's dissecting the parts, cutting the parts, cutting through to a certain position, relation, structure, and function. So tonight, as we look at the body of Christ, the church, we're going to do that in order that we can understand our position, relation, structure, and function, so that we can live as the Lord's church. So, as we look at this passage, I want to first ask the question, what is the body of Christ? And I think this is a very, very important question. There's some confusion about it, so I do want to just speak briefly about what is the body of Christ. And in this passage, if you listen carefully as we read through these verses, you would see that the body of Christ is a spiritual analogy for the local congregation. And I'm going to use the term congregation because Sometimes the church is misunderstood. That word church is used of a local congregation. It is used of an assembly, but it's also used in other ways. It is used of a denomination. It is used of a building. And so I want to specify that the body of Christ consists of a local congregation. Born again, baptized believers. So it's speaking of a local congregation in a specific locality. Now, let me just turn your attention back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Go back to chapter 1, and as Paul writes this letter, he says in verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. And so this letter is addressed and written to a specific congregation. It's a congregation at Corinth. And it's pretty simple, really. It's not hard to understand, but there's a lot of confusion. Today, people, when they talk about the church, they say that the church, or if you're talking about the body of Christ, they say it's a universal, invisible body of all believers. And when you read this passage, that just don't make sense. And the only way you can apply this passage is in a local congregation. You know, something that assembled has people that you... And you know, this idea of the body being a universal, invisible body out there, it's really caused a lot of... Being a false doctrine, it caused a lot of hurt to the cause of Christ. And how it does that is that people, they devalue the local church. They don't get involved in the local church. They don't join local church. They're not faithful to local churches. They just, well, I'm in the body. I'm in the church. And so that's all that matters. I've been saved. I'm in the church. And they're out there as a Lone Ranger Christian doing their thing. And so that's one of the results of that confusion. But I want you to notice that how this letter, as I mentioned in chapter 1, verse 2, it's addressed to a specific congregation. And you go on to verse 21 in that first chapter. It talks about how that they were converted to Christ by the gospel and believing the gospel. He said, for after that the wisdom of God... the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so when Paul went to Corinth and preached the gospel, there were people that came to faith in Christ. When you read Acts 18, you can see that they believed and were baptized. And that's what happened. Is they were formed into a local congregation by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, being baptized, and into a body, a local congregation. And so when we come to this chapter 12, you see that they confess Christ as Lord, and so they're brought together as a congregation. There are some problems in this local congregation that Paul is addressing. Now, if you... there's something else. Let me think. Let me back up just a little bit. Yes, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12 for just a moment. And in verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, or he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So this is the gifts of the Spirit we talked about last week. The seven gifts of the Spirit, these permanent motivational gifts that are given. You have one of the seven, And that's what most of the gift class is going to be about, those. But I want you to think about that. God has given, the Holy Spirit's given spiritual gifts to every believer. They have one gift. And that gift, according to these verses, is to be used. If you've been given the gift of serving or ministry, then minister. Use that gift and minister. If you've given the gift of teaching, you teach. Now, the reason why I bring that out is, how can that happen in a universal invisible body where nobody assembles? I mean, it's just not possible, is it? So we're talking about, when we talk about the body of Christ, we're talking about a local congregation, at a specific location, in a specific place, and just like Bible Baptist Church. And Bible Baptist Church, and I want you to understand that this is an analogy. There's several other analogies of the church in the Bible. We have the church is a temple, the church is a bride, and the church is even called a temple. But here it's likened to a body. And the reason why is because the church functions much like a human body. And so Paul is going to teach because they were abusing the gifts. They were confusing the gifts. They were exercising some of the gifts, but they were not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. And so he's trying to teach them how to understand the spiritual anatomy of the church, the spiritual anatomy of the body of Christ. And it's so important that we understand it. And so I just wanted to clarify that when we talk about, as we go through this passage and we're talking about the body of Christ, we are talking about a local congregation. And let me give you one other verse before we move to the next point. Look in verse 27, the last verse that we read. He says, "Now ye." Now, ye in the Old English, in our Bible, the King James Bible, it's plural. If you see "you," it's singular. Anytime you see "ye," it's plural. So plural means he's talking about all of you. And who's he writing to? The church at Corinth. So he's telling them, now all of you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You see, he's making it clear that that local congregation at Corinth said, you are the body of Christ. And so just as Paul said that, I can say to you as members of Bible Baptist Church, ye are the body of Christ. Ye are the body of Christ. So let's go to the second question tonight we're going to address, and how are we to relate and function in the body of Christ? How are we to relate and function in the body of Christ? Well, I want you to go to verse 12. He starts by, he said, first, the body is one. Now, he's talking about a human body. As the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body. And then he says, so also is Christ. So he starts out with this human body. He's saying a human body is one. It's not two. Now, I know we've seen people that have been, what do they call those people that are merged together? They just have two heads. But I know that's strange, really, you think about it. But typically tonight, we look at ourselves, right? You are one. Your body's one. I'm one. And so he's using the body, a human body. But there are many members of the body. And so when we ask this question, how are we to relate and function in the body of Christ? I want to ask this question, how does the human body function? How does your human body function? Because he's making a comparison. He said, so also is Christ. So I want you to follow with me just for a minute. I want to give you five things about the human body based on anatomy. The first is the human body is one body made up of many members. I mean, that's coming right out of the text, right? Coming right out of verse number 12. So there's the head and shoulders, knees and toes. You kids know that song? Head and shoulder, knees and toes. Oh, I can't even hardly bend down to my toes. But there's also arms, hands, fingers, legs, feet, toes, eyes, ears. You got your nose, your mouth, your skin. Those five things give us the five senses. There's the internal organs we have. The brain, the thyroid gland, the thymus gland, the heart, the lungs, liver, the kidneys, pancreas, stomach, bladder, reproductive organs, small and large intestines. There's the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons, and the blood. I mean, we can't forget the blood. Blood's very important. The life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says. So, I mean, I just gave you just a brief summary of some of the parts of the body. I mean, there's more than that. I mean, it could be broken down. We could go all night and just start talking about all the different parts of the body. And there's a lot. But though there are many, would you say there are many parts of the human body? But the body is one. That's an important truth to understand. The second truth about the human body, each member is important and needed. Each member is important and needed. You know, years ago, they believed your appendix was useless, but now research is saying that that's not true. That there is a purpose for it. Now, you can live without it, just like you could live without your thumb. But if you lose a thumb, it's going to be hard to pick up a bottle of water. I mean, just try to pick up something without a thumb. It's going to be really hard. There are some things that we can live without, but can you live without your heart? There's things that we can't live without. Your brain. Your brain dies, your body dies. But did you know your soul doesn't die? Your soul is eternal. Your soul lives in this body. But your body depends on that brain. Because did you know your soul is what influences your brain? And then your brain gives signals to tell your body what to do. Well, that's a lesson for another day. But I just want to say that every member of your body is important. Every member of your body has a purpose. Your eyes, your ears, your nose, your skin, your hair, feet, your toes. Everything has a function. Everything is important. Even that little appendix is important. Now, if you have appendicitis, you have to get it cut out. There's no doubt about that. But still, it's important. There's a purpose for it. God put it there. It's not some vestigial organ like I learned in anatomy at Texas Tech University because of evolution. That it was something that was left off in the evolving of something that was not needed. And there's several things in the body they say is a vestigial organ, that it's because of evolution, but it's not something that we needed. It's just left over or whatever. But I want to tell you tonight, that is a lie. And I remember sitting under that garbage at Texas Tech, they're trying to convince us of evolution. There is no God. And it's sad. That's what they're doing with kids today in universities, totally trying to destroy their faith. That's why it's good that you got your kids here tonight, because we need to learn truth. We need to learn truth. And I'm glad I knew enough truth that I knew that that was a lie. I knew enough truth that I did not fall into that. But every member is important. Now, number three, each member of a human body has a function that contributes to the whole. Each member of the body has a function that contributes to the whole. There's no part of your body that just functions by itself. You know, Paul hints at that. You know, he says in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? I mean, the hand is part of the body. The hand moves because the muscles in the arm contract and the hand moves. But what makes those muscles contract? Well, there's nerves that run from your spine over there, from your spinal cord, all going all the way up to your brain, so your brain's telling it what to do. I mean, it's all connected. I mean, everything's connected, and it's all, they all contribute to the whole. And I like how Paul's using the human body, because remember, this was a church that was divided. Remember, there was division in this church. There was strife, there was fighting, there was people that were saying, well, I'm with Paul, I'm with Apollos, and they were just dividing people up, and they were using some of the gifts to try to bring self-glory, and it was causing jealousy, it was causing all kinds of havoc in the church. So Paul's trying to bring them back down to a basic truth. Look at the human body. Every part of that body works together in unity and contributes to the whole. And then number four, each member functions interdependently. Interdependent, what's that mean? It means that every part of the body depends on each other. Your hand does not depend on itself. Your ears, your eyes. There's no part of your body that depends on itself. It's interdependent. Every member of the body is interdependent. And so that's a very valuable truth. Number five, each member is dependent on the brain for growth, health, and directives. Without the brain, there's no part of your body that would function. No part of your body. Your brain dies, you're dead. Can't do nothing. You know, that's why some people, when they get a spinal cord injury, it causes them to have paralysis, because the brain cannot reach that part of the body because the nerve's been severed. Anytime there's a problem in these areas, growth, health, directives are hindered. Did you not agree? So we're asking a question. So the question is, how are we to relate and function in the body of Christ? Well, we looked at how the body, human body, functions. So we're going to go to this subpoint B. The body of Christ functions in the same manner. The body of Christ functions in the same manner. In other words, the same manner as the human body. Now let's go back through those points that we just went through, but let's go through them looking at the church. So the first point was, the church is one body made up of many members. The church is one body made up of many members. Now let's go back to this. And in verse 12, he says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." He said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And he says in verse 27 again, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." So this truth is also true of the local congregation, that there are many members here tonight. And there are different kinds of members with different gifts, different backgrounds, different talents, different personalities. And you're going to learn some of those things in the gift class, that a gift and a talent are different. A spiritual gift, it's not. You may be talented at something, but that's not your gift. You may develop something, even your personality, that's not your gift. Your personality can change and all that. You can have different kind of talents. And it's funny how people will say, well, like Brother Curtis, for example, he's gifted at music. He had the spiritual gift of music. Well, there's no such thing in the Bible as a spiritual gift of music. He is gifted. And no doubt God's had a hand in that. But it's not a spiritual gift. And so I just want to make that distinction. But so the church is one body. It's made up of many members. And as we read in verses 12 through 14, there are Jews and Gentiles in this congregation. at Corinth, there were bond and free. So there were some that were slaves, and there were some that were not slaves, and that was in this congregation. I'm sure there were rich members and there were poor members. There were male and female. So there are different kind of members here and different kinds of gifts. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. And so in this church, there were diversity of gifts, diversity of members. But I like the emphasis over and over. There's many, there's diversity, but one body. One body. Many members. And so those that have the gift of prophecy that we saw in Romans 12, verse 4, or the gift of mercy, or the gift of exhortation, the gift of teaching, the gift of ministering, the gift of giving or ruling or serving. You're going to find those in the congregation. And they're all different gifts. And they all see different. As Brother Justin gave the illustration with the glasses. You know, you view things different. And if you go through the gift class and you learn your gift, you learn what your wife's gift is, what your children's gift are, it's going to help you. Because without it, you're going to be thinking, everybody needs to think like I think. The way I think is the best way to think. And why can't you just see things the way I see it? You know, a lot of conflict in relationships is because we don't understand we're gifted different. And we also have different personalities. We have different backgrounds. There's a lot of things going into that. But different diversity, but one body. Right? So all these different gifts, we have to remember that we're in members of one body. And I like how that he, again, in verse 15, the foot say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Or he goes and says, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So if everybody was the same, if everybody had the gift of prophecy, that would be a weird church. Because it wouldn't meet the other six needs. I mean, if a human body was just an ear, that'd be a weird human body, wouldn't it? I didn't see an ear walking in the church. There's no legs, no hands, just an ear, no eyes. All right, let's go to the second. Each member of the church is important and needed. Each member, every member of the church is important. I want to say, every one of you members of Bible Baptist Church, you are important. You're important to me, you're important to this church, and you're important to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read this passage, you see that the Lord placed you in this body. The Lord placed you here. It is the Holy Spirit that led you here. And you're in this congregation because of him, and you are important. And he's gifted you and brought you here for a special purpose, a special function. Each one of you have a gift. And I know some people think, well, I don't have any gifts. I can't do anything. Another lie. You are gifted. You have a gift. And it's not until you understand your gift that you're going to really be able to use it effectively. And one of the great things about knowing your gift is the joy that it brings. It brings so much joy. And there's a lot of Christians that are not joyful in their service. They're doing it because, well, I'm supposed to serve the Lord. I love the Lord, and so I serve, but I'm miserable doing it. There's no joy in it. But when you understand your gift, and I do want to say this, some people have expressed fear. Well, if we teach gifts, and this is something that's come up in the past, if we teach gifts, then it's going to hurt our church because there's going to be people, they're not going to be willing to do this or that because they say, well, I'm not gifted to do that. Wrong. Now let me explain why. My gift is teaching. That's how my mind is. I like to read. I like to research. I like to do those things. I'm just a certain way, and that's what my motivation. That's what gives me joy, and that's how God gifted me. However, As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I'm also to serve my church. I can tell you that there's been many times I've backed this entire sanctuary during the week because I want to serve my church. I don't advertise it. I don't tell people I do it. I just do it. There's a lot of things I see that I need to do. I do. I give faithfully. Every week I give my tithes. I give missions. I give special offerings. I give to our youth ministry. Every week I give. I give. I'm not a giver in my gift, but I give. I'm not gifted with mercy, but I have to show mercy to people. When I go to the hospital, I try my best to be sympathetic and to try to feel their pain and try to comfort them. And I do that. There are times that I have to exhort people. I'm a pastor. I'm in the office of pastor, which is not a spiritual gift. It's a gift Christ gave to the church. It's an office that I'm in. And so there are a lot of things I have to do as part of my office, but it's not my... There are a lot of things I do that are not my gifts, so to speak, but I do them, right? Because I love Christ. But because I know my gift and understand, you know, there are things that, for example, that I'm like, man, I know so-and-so over here is the server, so there's something that needs to be done. I really need to study. I really need to get ready for the message Sunday. And so I can call that person because I know that they're going to be excited about doing that because that's what motivates them. That gives them joy. It don't give me the joy to vacuum the carpet. It gives me the joy to study and prepare messages. That gives me joy. But I do get a sense of fulfillment that, hey, I did this for Jesus. So I just wanted to clarify that. Each member of the church is important. Each member is needed by the church. And you can go read all the way down through verse 23. And let's just look real quick. Verse 20. But now, are there many members? Yet but one body. See, he says it again. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. Notice this. They're necessary. And members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So you see that he goes on and talks about even the feeble, even the ones that may not be in the spotlight, may not be teaching the class or preaching or, you know, doing something like most people see as being more important. But I want to say to you that it's not more important. Everybody's important. Every part. I mean, people that run sound, people that run media, people that are out there sentinel, watching, protecting our lives tonight in case somebody tries to come in to harm us. Those people are important. People in the children's ministry are important. I mean, we're here in the youth ministry. People that come during the week to clean the church. People that come and do things for to help this church keep going forward. I'm telling you, every single person, every part is important. If I'm the only important one, then and nobody else is here, what good is it? If I'm just here preaching to myself. So let's go to the third one. Each member has a function that contributes to the whole. And again, you know, these verses 15 through 17 kind of reiterate that. You know, every person has a part and contributes to the whole. When somebody is out there watching the front doors tonight, they're contributing because they're allowing us to meet here and be safe. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for every member. You know, we have people that are shut-ins that can't be here than many of the shut-ins that for years and years have served and served and served in this church. They still give and they still pray. They're just as important as those that are here tonight. They're an important part of our church. Number four, each member functions interdependently. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism. That means a division in the body, or where there's a separation into groups, into cliques, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You see that interdependency. We should care one for another. I depend on you and you depend on me. We need each other. We need each other. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So you see that interdependency of members in the body, just like in the members of a human body. And the last one, each member is dependent on the head of the church for growth, health, and directive. I really love this one. You know, as we look at the human body, if your brain dies, you die. The brain gives the directives. The brain gives the growth, the health, the life to the members of the body. And I want you to look in Ephesians 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4 real quick. And I want you to look in verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, that is, into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see who the head is? Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Who makes the increase? Who gives the life to the church? It's Jesus Christ. You know, he's our head, and as members of his body, we have to look to him for growth. You want spiritual growth? You want numerical growth? You want growth in church? We have to look to the head, Christ. He's the one that adds to the church. He's the one that gives us growth in our spiritual life. And I'm standing behind this little... this is not a pulpit, but lectern here, teaching you tonight. And Christ can use me to help you grow. But it's Christ that helps you grow. It's Christ. He's the one. He gives his word. He gives his spirit. He's the one that grows us. He's the one that gives us health spiritually and even physically. And directives. We look to our head to direct us. As we go through 2024, I'm looking to Jesus. Give wisdom, give us direction, direct our steps, and show us what we need to do as a church. And he's the one that gives the directives. He's the head. It's not the hand that gives us directives. It's the head. And this is a very vital truth. I love that truth, because sometimes we try to put that pressure on ourselves that it's dependent on us to grow. It's all dependent on us to figure things out. It's not. It's Christ. We have to look to the head. So may we understand tonight that Christ, he has no hands but our hands, no feet but our feet, no mouth but our mouths, no heart but our hearts. You know, the way Christ ministers to the church and through the church is through people. And he's gone. He ascended up to heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit to come and live within us. And it's only as we walk with him and he empowers us by his grace and using the gifts of grace that he has given us. It's through that that we minister to each other. It's through that we minister to our community, people even outside the body. Because you think about Christ, he He ministered to the lost world when he was on earth. And we are here for that reason, to live as the Lord's church. We need to understand who we are. You're a member of the body of Christ. He is your head, and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here are your members together. Members together with one another. And the only way that we can make a difference in ministering to each other and ministering to our community as the body of Christ is, I wish I had time, but go and read Romans 12 again. We read verses 4 through 8, but read the first three verses that precede that. Giving your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. You know, being a life committed to Jesus. That's how we make a difference in the body. When we commit our life to Jesus, we give ourselves living sacrifice. When we have a life that's contrasted from the world, we're not conformed to the world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. A life that's connected to the body, because after you get past verse 3, get into the gifts in the body, there's no Christian that's going to make a difference in this world without a local congregation, without having brothers and sisters in Christ to fellowship with, brothers and sisters of Christ to pray with, brothers and sisters of Christ to encourage, exhort, even rebuke at times, to pray for you, to care for you. I'm telling you, we cannot do without one another. And it's sad how many Christians, they're disconnected from churches. You know, one of the saddest things that I face as a pastor, when I'm asked to preach a funeral and the person is not connected to a church. So you begin to wonder, were they saved? Did they know Christ? You know, people that go through that without the loving care of a church family, it's not good. But I'm so thankful for my church family, and I'm thankful for the Lord, what He's shown us in His Word tonight, so it can help us realize who we are in Christ and who our brothers and sisters in Christ are and how we can relate to one another and accomplish the mission Christ has given us. Well, let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight. We're so thankful that You loved us first. We're so thankful that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And Lord, this week, as we've been reading and abide reading about John 10, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, Lord, You laid down Your life for sheep. Lord, You came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Lord, those are some precious, precious truths. If we think about who we are tonight, that we're special to You. Each and every one of us. And Lord, sometimes it's the lies that Satan sells us that gets us down, that gets us disconnected from the body of Christ where You placed us. Sometimes it's the lies that gets us away from serving the function that You have gifted us for. Lord, I pray that it's we can go back and reflect and read that passage and see how important it is that each member being connected to the head, each member being abiding, obedient to the head, working together for His cause. How by doing that we can be the Lord's church in this lewd culture in which we live. Lord, I'm praying for the gift class that's coming up week from this Saturday, that Lord, You would just bless as we go through the gifts and learning what they look like, both when a person walks in the Spirit, when a person walks in the flesh. Lord, help people understand each other better. to help them understand themselves better, and how that they've been specially gifted by Christ to serve and enabled by grace to use that gift in a supernatural way. Lord, it's exciting to think about what you're going to do. We're just asking, Lord, your blessing on it, and bless the message tonight, Lord, to each of us. And thank you again for giving us this time. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.